Hey guys, welcome back to Making Moves. I am here today with the one and only Lexi Lomba.
Hello, hello.
Thank you so much for coming on. I feel like your voice is so soothing to the listener and mine's so chaotic, so it'll be a good mix.
I'm honored. I am very excited to be here. I've like wanted to be a guest on here.
Well, I have been such a big fan for such a long time, so I'm like so excited. I love when I meet someone and I like know, I don't know, I feel like I meet a lot of YouTubers or celebrity type people and I meet them and I'm like, oh, dang it, because like they were a little different in person or whatever. It's okay. Everyone has their on camera.
Yeah.
But I know you're the same bitch. And you know why? I have to, what my first burning question is, how does it feel? This is a quote from the one and only Alicia Marie. How does it feel to be one of the only people that was actually nice to Alicia Marie before she had followers?
Oh my God.
I was like, what should I ask Lexi? That's what she sent me.
Hi, Alicia. I hate that.
She loves you.
I love her. Yeah. I hate that that is something that she's experienced.
So funny.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I mean,
we are OGs. I mean, we've been on the internet forever. Her and I were posting at the same time. I feel like we were working parallel. Like, her and I never, like, got close or anything, but we've been doing it for so long, so I have mad respect for her, of course.
Yeah.
I think I'm the respect total is total pretty mutual basic.
Yep. Yeah. For her.
Honored. I'm from Virginia, you know? We're friendly, well-mannered people. I would never, like, not be friendly or nice to someone. Mm-hmm. But love you, Alicia.
I think that, like, especially at that age you guys started, it's such a hard time for any girl. Like, you're just trying to figure out stuff, and girls are mean.
And we were in middle school and early high school. I was in seventh grade when I began posting on YouTube. And I know that it was not a cute time in my life.
No, that's a scary time.
And I was giving makeup advice.
Yeah.
Who let me do that?
I'm glad that someone let you do that. Because what an incredible, like, diary of videos you have now.
Yes.
Do you have all of your videos still public?
I have some of them private, but most of them are still up. And I have some that are so old that you can hear a southern accent in my voice.
No.
Like, hey guys, I'm gonna show you my 8 most worn things.
Hey y'all, so this is how to shuck some corn.
I just got a new Burberry scarf at the mall at, like, near the city.
We went into the city so I could go to Nordstrom's.
Yeah, I went to Nordstrom with my dad, my mom. It was not that bold. It was a subtle twang. But now that I've been in Los Angeles and New York, I mean, all of that has dissipated. Uh-huh. I'm fully without accent, but that's how long it's been.
That's amazing. Do you feel like there are specific things, though, from growing up in Virginia that are still rooted within you?
Absolutely.
What are those?
Saying hello. Like, just when you're passing someone on a sidewalk, you're like, hey. Like, you smile at them, acknowledge them, uh-huh, or something, which I didn't realize didn't...
People think it's weird.
Yeah.
If you do that.
It doesn't continue across all state lines. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been in California, and, like, you just don't look at each other. You're minding your business. And in New York, everyone's so busy, they're not paying attention to you. I always gave the comparison in Virginia, if someone's walking in behind you, you automatically hold the door for them. In California, maybe someone might even close the door on you on purpose. Like, they're not holding it.
Literally.
And then in New York, they don't even notice you.
Yeah.
They don't even know you're walking through the door.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I would say the friendliness, also just small town values. I grew up kind of slow. Well, contradictory. I grew up kind of fast. But in terms of my childhood, mm-hmm, I'm glad that I wasn't exposed to all the city life so young.
Yeah. It's crazy even how much I felt like when I moved here at 18 was exposed to that I didn't realize was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, the jump from being 18 in Indiana, like, for literally a week and then moving here, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, how small of a town in Indiana are you from?
It's called Bloomington, and it's a college town, so where IU is.
Yes.
So it's bigger than, like... like cornfields, Indiana. Yes. You know what I mean?
How far away are you from cornfields?
From, like, actual cornfields, I would say, like, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Or an hour. But, like, the university brings, I don't know, I think it has, like, 40, 50,000 students.
Huge.
So, like, and it's, like, a big party school. So, like, it attracts a lot of, like, LA, New York people because they want, like, the college experience. So I kind of got to... I thought it was a great small town vibe because I got a little bit of, like, more than just the cornfield energy. But I don't know. What about you? How big was your town?
We're like the last town that you could consider yourself Northern Virginia.
Okay.
Where I'm even in, dare I say, like one of the last suburbs before you get to horse fields and rolling hills.
Gorgeous.
Where like ex-boyfriend had a donkey and horses and friends had chickens and yeah, like their eggs that they made for breakfast were from the backyard.
From the coop. Yeah,
absolutely. But I was only 45, 50 minutes away from D.C., so I knew how to use to take
that's
the metro.
Amazing.
Yeah, but definitely small town. We didn't have a mall. We didn't have a movie theater.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really small.
But it's not that. It's small, but I mean, there was a movie theater like 30 minutes away.
Okay, but still far. Mine definitely had movie theaters. We had two.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We didn't.
And then did you, growing up, were you always the kid that was like, I'm going to live in a big city?
Oh, for sure. I was one of the kids with the complexes like, I'm going to be on Disney Channel.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my
for
gosh.
Sure. Like, so, I'm going to be famous. I don't know why. Maybe I'll be in the Olympics. I don't know why I'm not, like, competing.
Yeah.
But, like, why do I have this huge ambition? Like, where is this coming from?
That's amazing. And then you moved to L.A.
Then I moved to L.A. after graduating high school. Mm-hmm. And I came out here 2014, 2015, 2016, left at the end of 2016, and I was doing shows with Awesomeness. I did the 17 report for 17 magazine online.
Yeah. No, you were and are that bitch.
I loved that. It was so fun. But at the same time, even though I was on the internet, I also very much was involved in my town and in my school. And I played sports and I had a social life there and I liked school. So even though I was excited to skip school is what I thought when I was graduating high school, like, oh, I'm just going to skip college and then go into the working world. After 3 years, I realized, wait a second, I actually do want to go to school. I want higher education.
Okay.
So I went to New York, and then I went to Parsons, and I liked New York a lot, so I'm still there.
Yeah.
But now that it's March, and I've done 4 winters there, I'm like, do I need to be an LA snowbird?
Maybe.
This is so nice. I was at the pool yesterday.
Yeah, snowbird, like the term is a thing for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I could skip a winter. I love the four seasons, but I could skip next winter.
Yeah. So what are you doing here? Why are you here?
Okay.
Other than the weather.
Give me the tea. I wasn't supposed to be here. This is all... Shout out Tyra for fully convincing this entire trip.
Oh my gosh, I just met her.
Really?
I love her.
I love her.
She's so nice and so gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Oh my gosh.
Was my neighbor, and now she lives in LA.
Wait, no way. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I miss her. But anyway, I'm staying with her right now.
Okay.
So one of my childhood best friends from Virginia, her and I have been wanting to travel. And I love to ski. And I've been wanting to go to Mammoth. I saw you were just there.
Yes.
We didn't go to the hot spring. And I desperately regret it. We're going to go back.
Okay.
Anyway.
Text me when you do, because I'll give you, it's kind of like a trek to get there. And
it
I'll
looks
give you
that
the details.
Way.
I'll give you the details.
Okay. Yes. Really want to do that. So we had planned, let's go to Mammoth, we'll fly into LA, we'll rent a car, we'll drive up. If we have time, maybe we'll go to Sequoia on the way back.
Oh my gosh, gorgeous.
But then we ended up loving Mammoth, so we stayed an extra day and didn't go to Sequoia. And I was talking to Tyra about it on the phone, and she's like, you're going to fly into LA and out of LA and not stay in LA? I was like, well, you know, I got to get back to New York. And she's like, for what? You work on the computer, like you work on the internet.
Yeah.
You do not need to be back in New York. And I'm like, well, hey, I do, you know, like, also I'm going to go on this trip and I'm going to just be filled with all this change from traveling and I'll want to go back to New York with fresh eyes. She's like, you're not making any valid points right now. I was like, fine, I'll like see how much it is to extend my stay and like stay 4 or 5 days in LA. Zero change on Delta, $0. I was like, fine, great, we'll do it.
Wait, that's amazing.
Amazing.
And you have so many friends that live here.
Yeah, and so it's nice to visit them. Like, Claudia and I got dinner 2 nights ago. Mm-hmm. Drew and I went to the Echo Park Swans. Like,
oh my gosh, fun.
Yeah, just doing all the fun activities. So I was going to be here till Sunday, and then I looked again and extended my trip till Monday. And now my trip's extended till next Thursday. Delta, it's $5. At first it was zero, then it was 10, then it was 5.
That's crazy.
I know, I feel like there was a period of time where you would go on the phone calling the airline. They're like, it'll be $200 to change your flight. You're like, I can't do that. They're like, what about $150? And you're like, great, thank you so much.
That is insane.
So who knows how long. Maybe I'll never go back.
You know what? Enjoy your stay. And you know
thank
what's
you.
Fun? I feel like a lot of people, when they come to LA, especially in the YouTube social creator world, when they come here, it's like work like every minute of the day. And it's like even event, you're going to events, you're meeting with people,
yes.
Dinners, like work dinners and whatever. And I feel like very rarely people just get to have fun.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on vacation a little
so
bit.
So you should.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Take advantage of that.
I'd say about 1/3 of the trip is involving business or like any sort of work related stuff, but even still, it's fun. Like, this is fun for me, and I'm going to be on Chris Clemens' podcast tomorrow.
Love Chris.
Love him.
He's amazing.
Even the work that I'm doing is exciting and like very casual.
Yeah.
But I really am enjoying like just the entire thing. And last year I had such a neurotic work ethic. I would have made a trip to LA, which I did. And it was, let's collab with this person.
Yeah.
Let's meet with this person. Like, if we're going to go to LA, like, we're going to make the most of it. But there is so much to offer outside of work. Mm-hmm. So I do like having a little bit of vacation.
It's crazy too how much I'm realizing this year. Because do you know your Enneagram number?
No.
You don't? Oh my God, you have to take the test, Lexi.
Okay.
I feel
Wait,
like
is this like INFP?
Kinda. It's like the Myers-Briggs type thing.
No, is it? That's Myers-Briggs.
Is that what it is?
Enneagram's the number.
Enneagram
right?
is the number. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, I don't know my number.
Myers-Briggs is the INFP, whatever. I don't exactly know mine. But Enneagram, you have a number, and mine's 3.
Okay.
And a lot of, I feel like, creators are 3s because it's the achiever. So it's like you feel like you're not, you're never doing good enough. You feel like you could always be doing more.
Totally.
Like, for instance, booking a trip, you're like, I have to make this productive. Like, this needs to be worth my while. Like, work is life.
And even if I am in vacation mode, it's like, okay, well, we at least need to find a pool and like a nice restaurant to go to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So to find the balance of accepting yourself to do nothing, that was my New Year's resolution, relaxation and rest.
Good for you.
Thank you.
It's hard.
And I think it's a very valuable skill.
Yeah.
I think people need, especially with people who are so obsessed with their productivity, need to know how to relax properly and efficiently. Like, learning that relaxation is productive.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I've noticed, like, the more I relax, the more productive I am when it is time to work. And
because
I'm more
creative. Because it's intentional. Yes.
It's
you're
crazy.
Giving yourself the freedom to say, I don't need to work now, because if you're working all the time, the quality of your work is going to decrease. Mm-hmm.
Do you have like a word for the year? Are you one of those people that comes
I would
up
say,
with that? Relax.
Well, it was that, but also presence.
Okay.
I wanted to be more present. I dealt with a lot last year and I was distracted for a lot of it. And whether that was subconscious or on purpose, I really wanted to be more in the moment this year. Because I know a lot of people struggle with it, but ironically enough, that was one of my most innate qualities. I was really present as a kid, as an adolescent, even as a young adult, and it wasn't until last year and a little bit of the year before where I realized I'm not being present and I missed it. It felt like I was off kilter and not something was wrong, so I want to get back there. So I have 3 words this year.
How do you realize when you're not being present? I guess, like, for someone that's listening to this, and they're like trying to be more present, what is something they can do or recognize in the moment? Like, am I really being present right now? Like, to check themselves.
That's a good question. I feel like it's easier to identify when you're being present than it is when you're not being.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're present, you're properly listening. You're thinking about nothing other than exactly what is in this vicinity. Mm-hmm. If you're listening and also thinking about like, oh my God, I have that appointment tomorrow and like I'm not looking forward to that. Or if someone's talking and you're like, oh my God, like I think my shirt's too tight. Like, just try to make all of those other thoughts disappear and exist in just what's going on, whether it's in your own head or like through conversation. Mm-hmm. Or if you're walking, I think classic, just breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Breath work, I never paid attention to before, but I'm becoming a lot more interested in it.
Really?
And I think that's an easier form of meditation than just calming your mind and having a word. Sometimes doing a breathing exercise I found to be really fun and a good way to get yourself present.
Is breath work?
Yes.
Okay, so is there
3
an app you're
options.
Following? Or?
No, just YouTube tutorials.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just look up like breath work practices?
Yeah, I even have
tea.
Like Instagram infographics that
really?
Are saved that are just like breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4, breathe in for 4, hold for
okay,
4.
Okay, I need to like look those up because I've never actively tried that. Because I've tried the meditation like Calm app and stuff. But I always find myself fixating on something else.
Yes. I also love a guided meditation.
I agree.
Where someone's like, think of an object in your house that brings you so much joy, and then you'll start focusing on Like, I focused on this lamp that we have in my living room, and I just ended up putting so much appreciation into this lamp and, like, exploring it for all that it is, and it lasted for 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, so, like, I really just spent 10 minutes of my life thinking about this goddamn lamp.
And you're that, like, gratitude.
I know. I was, like, very present on the most obscure, irrelevant thing, but yeah. Also it was very fun. And I'm like, wow, I spent 10 minutes today thinking about a lamp.
No, I have to commend you because I – loved. I just listened to your episode, The Love is a Hobby, and I was literally smiling. Like, I caught myself smiling in the car, like, when I was listening this week, and I was like, she's making me truly appreciate, like, the mundane things in life.
Oh, I'm so honored.
And, like, the way you were so excited about, like, you were like, I love, I forget, like, everything you were saying, but you were like, I love the way my hair lays today, or, like, I love, you were just saying, like, honestly, whack-ass shit.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that is so true. Like, I need to recognize more shit that I love throughout the day.
Totally.
And that I definitely take for granted.
I think it began as these, like, self-love affirmations, but sometimes I wouldn't have something like, oh, that I necessarily, like, loved about myself, but, like, oh, I love that I got to have a Diet Coke today.
Yes.
And you're just like, that was nice, because I do really like Diet Coke, and I don't get to have them that often. Yeah. And it's ridiculous, but it does keep you in a positive mindset, mm-hmm. which I definitely believe in toxic positivity and, like, irrational positivity. And you do need to have a little bit of a balance and be able to look at both perspectives and understand when you're going through something negative and in denial. But there are times to just be appreciative. You're
things.
Like, I was hydrated today. Thank God.
Yes. No, literally. And it's the little things in life that really do keep you going.
Yeah.
You know?
Because not every moment can be magical, but more moments can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place. I don't know if you can relate to this. I'm pretty new to this, like, YouTube scene.
That's nuts to me. You're a total expert. I fully believe that through and through.
Thank you.
You went from rookie to veteran quick.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. But, like, I am. Like, myself, I am new to it, right? I've been working with Leisha for a long time, but she's taught me. She's literally, like, I've been a sponge these, like, last 3 years, and now I'm like, all right, I'm going to take everything this genius taught me and, like, try and make it my own or whatever. And it's weird because with uploading randomly or you know, uploading my videos and doing my thing and getting instant gratification with, like, numbers, views, even money, like, random things like that, I'm like, I'm checking off things that I never in my life thought I would. And it makes the little things, like having a Diet Coke, not as exciting to me anymore.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, when's the next big trip, me getting shipped across the country, going to happen, right?
Yes.
And I caught myself doing that for a hot second. Do you have any advice, I guess, like, in that regard? Because I feel like you had a lot of crazy shit happen to you when you were younger as well.
You get to a point where some of those grand trips end up not being as fun.
As grand.
Yeah. Like, from an outside perspective, it seems like a dream come true. But then you think about your week and you're like, why was that one day where my friend and I were going to the grocery store picking up groceries together so much more fun? Why was I laughing so much more that day? It was something so simplistic. So you realize that the grand, absurd, exciting aspects of life don't always match up with how you react to it and how you feel. Because sometimes you can make a ton of money, but if that's not your priority that week, you're like having trouble with your family or something, and then you make that check, it might not fulfill you in the way that you need it to. Or you realize that you start hitting 20,000 views on a video and you're so excited to hit 20,000. But then once you get to 50,000, yes. you start expecting 50,000. If you get 20,000, yes. it's nothing. You're like, God, what I do wrong?
You're like, no one's watching my
no
videos.
No one's watching. When yeah. you were so excited to have those 20,000 yes. before. So it's always a chase.
Uh-huh.
And so you need to find other things that you know that can be more consistent, that bring you joy, but also... I mean, it's great to have the data and the numbers and like yeah. see that you're growing, but it will never fulfill you for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Just practice and like time, you'll understand.
Yeah. I feel like I, for a hot second, I was like, where's my head going? And then I yeah. like checked myself and like, of course, there's moments where I'm worse with it than others, but I feel like I've finally, you know, come back to a good head on my shoulders, I guess, in that scenario.
But also, the idea of you, as long as you're proud of what you're doing, mm-hmm. that should be the main goal. So if you make a video that you are in love with, but it doesn't hit the numbers,
you're so right.
That should matter more than a video that you didn't really care about that like hit it off for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like I had a video get 12 million views and it was such like a video that it was not.
It's always the videos you don't like.
Yeah, you're like, that's such a subpar version of what I'm capable of. And like, this is the one that 12 million people saw? No, yeah. It's not what I want. So I think just always looking within instead of trying to get that external.
Love that. What would you say are those things that consistently bring you joy that have nothing to do with like, numbers, grand old things, money, shit like that?
Totally. Great question. What are those things for myself?
Feel free to marinate for a sec.
Yeah, I might have to. It's so interesting because it feels so intuitive at this point. I'm like, okay, now let's look down and be like, what do I do to make myself happy? I think I like feeding my relationships and making sure those are in a strong place. Mm-hmm. I love being outside. I'm such a better person when I'm outside.
Me too.
I like putting myself together. I love beauty and skincare treatments. I really enjoy like putting together an outfit and doing a new hairstyle mm-hmm. and like putting on makeup. That really fulfills me in such a funny way because it's so superficial, but I do it for myself. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy it. Anything for you that you're thinking of?
Definitely walks and being outside.
Yeah.
I never regret a walk,
I never regret
being outside.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about it on the way here when you were like, I love blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was trying to think of what I love, genuinely.
Yeah.
And I never, really any type of workout, like I feel so fulfilled and yeah. accomplished if I move my body in any regard. Because yeah. I'm like, I'm so strong.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, it's just.
Also, like you're always working your brain, I feel like, especially in this typical society yeah. that we live in. So when you actually get to like move your arms during the day, yes. your arms are kind of like, thank you so much. Yeah. Like, damn, we haven't done that in a minute.
That's so true. I feel like also it is, I have so many things that I'm constantly working on that are not as much instant gratification. So there's things where like, yes, I've posted an Instagram and it's like, yeah, that's done for the day. But there's like, I have like long-term gratification things as well. So for instance, like sometimes it'll take me a while to edit a video or like work on a project or launch a thing, a podcast or whatever. And a workout for me is so rewarding because it's like you literally get your clothes on, you go, you finish it, and I can knock it off the list and yeah. I literally accomplish it.
Yeah,
and it's
instant
like
gratification
instant
and
reward.
Healthy. Another example I've given before is Kleenex. Instant gratification.
Yes. Yeah.
Just wiping the counters, 5 seconds, instant gratification. Yeah. Such a healthy form of it.
I will also say, which I heard you talking about as well, I try and call. I'm really big on FaceTiming friends.
Yeah, and your family. You're yeah. really good at that.
I'm really big on that. And it fulfills me.
Totally.
And anytime I'm in a funk, I'm like, who could I call right now that like no matter what we'll talk about, I'll feel better afterwards.
Totally.
And I'm so grateful I have people that I can do that. And you were talking about your friend you call every Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that kind of similar?
So similar. And I almost wish I FaceTimed more of my friends throughout the week because sometimes I will just feel at a low or in a lull for no real reason. And then I'll call a friend and think to myself, why don't I do that more often? That took no time. That took 20 minutes of my day, mm-hmm. sometimes less. And now I'm smiling. And
yes.
now I feel like reinvigorated to go on with my day because sometimes I'll hit a lull and then I just want to call it quits and then just like let mm-hmm. the day sort of end. But sometimes a simple call with your friend can like give give you that boost.
Totally. I'm also like, I feel like so much of my life is planned out in a Google Calendar.
Yes.
And something about randomly calling someone that was on my mind, like there's a reason for, I don't know what it is, but I like to believe there's like some reason someone's on my mind and I should just call them. And like, if someone called me and they were like, you were just on my mind, I would be like,
oh, flattered.
I was.
Thank so you excited, so much.
Right?
Yeah. I have a friend that I talk to every Sunday. And when my mom passed away last year, she like really just went above and beyond. I had some friends really step up and show me so much love. And she was able to be there in a way that I don't think her or I were even expecting. Mm. And it brought us so much closer. And so it just feels like a soul talk, a heart space talk, every single
safe place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we can just be like, how are you doing? How is your week on a real level? Like, you can tell me all you've accomplished, but did it fulfill you? Mm. What are you hoping for this week? And a lot of just really personal talks, and I live for it. It's so healthy.
Speaking of you saying people showing up for you when you mm-hmm. needed them, what did you need from them?
Great question. I actually had someone say, like, I didn't know what you needed, so like, I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. And I'm like, I didn't know what I needed. I had no idea. When a parent passes away, for those who are listening, my mom passed away of a heart attack almost a year ago, March 31st. And I was in LA actually when I got the call. It was a total nightmare.
I literally remember this.
My mom had a heart attack.
Which I'm so sorry, by the way. I know there's nothing I can say to make it.
Totally, but thank you. She had a heart attack in the middle of the night and it came out of nowhere. And I got on a flight and flew home and was home for 2 months. And I cried in my friend's arms. She just held me while I cried. I fell asleep crying in her arms, woke up, was still in her arms. And it was just like she was a mother figure, a sister figure to me in that moment. And I couldn't have told you that's what I needed. All of our neighbors who brought over casseroles and dinners, but also neighbors that just stopped by and they told me a funny story about my mom mm-hmm. that I really needed. I liked hearing about her. I know a lot of times when someone will pass, they don't want to acknowledge the person
that it's happening or talk
but
about
I
it.
But I liked when friends would bring up my mom's name. I liked hearing Sandy. I liked hearing, oh, your mom, like, she texted me this the other day. I liked hearing that. So that was something that helped me. Also, my friends from New York, they asked if they could come to Virginia and meet my dad. And that was really huge for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, how special is that? Being from, if your parent passed away, and like, Alicia and Remy were like, take me to Indiana. We want to be at your house.
That would mean the world to me.
It meant the world.
And I would never ask.
I have chills thinking of it.
You would never ask them to do that.
I would never ask. And I didn't know I needed that. And so that was so special. So yeah, I mean, no one knows what to do. You just do. Mm-hmm. And that would be my advice. It's better to do more than nothing at all. And I know death is a very scary subject for a lot of people, especially if they haven't had very much experience with it. It's funny because we all die, but mm-hmm. like, unless you've had someone close pass, it's hard to comprehend. And so you almost want to be like, I can't acknowledge that because maybe I'll bring that into my life. Like, I don't want to say, I'm sorry, your mom passed. Because if I think about your mom passing, then I'll think about my mom passing. And I don't want to think about my mom passing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also goes to show how much of just an awesome person you are to those people and your family and your mom, you know, because like people, the fact that they were like, for sure, we're going to leave New York and like come be with you just shows like how much they care about you and love you. And like,
it made me want to be.
Do you know what I mean?
Thank you. It made me want to be a better friend. And some of the things that my friends did for me, I could have never even come up with myself. So now it's giving me ideas. If anyone were to go through this, I'm going to be there. I promise. Uh-huh. Like friendship is so beautiful.
It's crazy
that you can meet people that you have you had no reason to meet with them or cross paths with them, but you did, and they become part of your tribe. It's really special. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's really fun when your friends came to Indiana and you get to mix your worlds.
Yes,
because I have Virginia, New York, and Los Angeles, and when oh my God, I get chills thinking about like my New York friend and my Virginia friend hanging out and my LA friend
it's
and
like
my New York
my
friend.
My wet dream.
Yes, my wet dream. It's the total opposite of when someone's like my two best friends are hanging out without me. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh!
Me too.
I live
I'm like,
for it.
Like FaceTime
more,
each other.
More.
Yeah, I think that is the coolest thing. And the way that you expressed what you were going through on the internet I've never seen before. And it was the, in the most, I want to say effed up way, the coolest thing, being able to watch you almost like have your camera be your therapist in a way. I don't know if that's how it felt for you.
It did.
But I would literally watch your shit and like cry. And like it felt like I was like there with you. And I didn't even know you. And I remember sending you a message. And like, but I felt like I was, it was okay to send you a message because I was like, the way you were so real in your videos, I've never seen anyone be that real in their life and in my life, like on the internet. And like, I just want to ask, like, what was your thought process when you were uploading those? Were you even thinking? Was it your therapist? Like, why were you doing that? Why'd you feel comfortable to do that? I have so many questions.
Totally. Well, when it happened, my mom played a role on my YouTube channel. So people knew her, and I have an annual Christmas video where my mom would get me a very extravagant stocking.
Yeah.
And we would film it every single year.
Iconic.
And I had also spent summer 2020 with my parents because of quarantine, and my mom was in a lot of the videos. And so I almost felt like I wanted them to know what was going on, because so many people got to meet my mom, and it felt like if you were holding back that information from a friend who knew your parents, like why, you have to let them know. And so I posted on Instagram just saying what had happened, and the flood of love that came in from the internet was the most powerful thing I've ever experienced in a virtual way. My friend who was holding me in her arms while I'm crying, we have my phone and we're scrolling through every comment, and I mean every like, and just seeing tens of thousands of people
like come together for you.
Her and I were both crying. Yeah, just being like, oh my God, send your dad my love. Like, I'm praying for your family. And you just think that you don't exist. Sometimes when you post, you're like, oh, that's just in my world. And then you realize that you actually do exist in someone else's world. That I knew I had a podcast and I knew I needed something to keep me busy. And I found myself spinning myself into control as opposed to out of control when this happened. So I was like, I can't let my YouTube channel go to waste. I can't let my podcast go down the drain. I just started. It's only been around for 4 months. I don't want to go broke. I don't want to become an alcoholic. I don't want to, you know, stop exercising. So I almost got a lot more diligent with it. But after everyone had kind of left, I just pulled out my phone and was like, I can record it. I don't need to post it. Let's just see what happens. And I became such a cathartic experience that I posted it, and then I did 1 week later, and then 1 month later. I'll probably do 1 year later. And it helped a lot. And it helped a lot of other people, as I hoped it would, because death is not very widely spoken about by youth on the internet.
So true.
I feel like it's my niche.
You're like, my brand is death.
I love talking about death. No, it's just,
I would agree, though.
I really feel comfortable about it. I was very close with my grandparents growing up. My grandpa was one of my best friends. I don't understand. We just had a soul connection. And he's who I would call when I was sick at school. Or sick at school. I'm like, can you pick me up and we go berry picking? Like, oh my God, Virginia thing.
No, I berry pick in Indiana, period. Okay. So being a small town girly.
He passed away when I was in eighth grade. So I was 14. So like a kid, but older. Like I was a fully formed person with opinions, relatively speaking, at 14. So when he passed away, I really feel like I lost a core part of myself. I'm like, this guy was my second dad. Like my grandpa was just as, my grandparents were just as involved in my family as my parents were, because my parents worked and they were like the nanny. I didn't have a nanny. It was just grandparents.
No, that's awesome. And that is common.
Yeah. So that was my experience. When I lost him, it was horrible. And then I lost my second grandfather when I was in high school. Once again, horrible. And then my grandmother passed away right when I moved to New York and I was on a brand trip. So, oh my God, I happened to be out of town when people passed. And
oh my gosh.
And then my mom was like, next, like that can't even compare to anything. But then I had a friend commit suicide.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just, I've experienced a lot in my life and I have experienced it from a lot of different directions and in a lot of different ways. And I know that this is a universal thing. Everyone will experience death, and I want to make the process not so so bleak, so depressing, and like how people get through it. I would love to volunteer as like a grief counselor.
You would be incredible at that. And you know what? I would even go as far to say as you serve that to some people.
Thank you.
You do.
Thank you.
You serve as that to some people who I'm sure have been longtime fans, or they're new. And maybe they found you through your mom's passing, and you literally got them out of their alcohol addiction, or you just never know.
You never know.
Your power with like the internet, and like that's what I'm saying, the way that you took such a horrible, horrific thing and almost made lemonade, I guess.
I understand what you're saying.
Like, I don't know how to say this
in the right way. It feels very touchy.
Yes, I'm like, how do I say it in the right way? But like the way you've done that is like, I hope that it was as therapeutic for you as I'm sure it was to a lot of people.
It has been.
Okay.
I can guarantee that, and I can say that wholeheartedly. And also being a vlogger, I know myself, and it's much easier for me to be a little bit of an oversharer than a masker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I still want to post. That's my job. So I can either really lean into it and like let people into this period of my life, or I can hide and pretend like all is well, or just like take a break, which I totally understand. I fully understand if someone's like, I need a little time off, but I just didn't want it or need it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't regret it.
Good for you. And you know what? I'm so happy. I don't know if you have or can even watch any of the videos that your mom was a part of. Yeah. But how cool that you have the option to go back and look if and when you want to.
And I'm so glad that she got to be on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad. I remember one Christmas during our stalking video, she created stockings for subscribers as well.
Mailed
them out. So I love knowing that there's like a couple girls out there that got one of my mom's stockings, and like she got to impact them. It's so special.
You should do when the time comes around, because you're saying how much your mom's a shopper. Do the stocking thing every year and like send it to subscribers or like other people that maybe have gone through grief.
That would be really cute. That's so smart. This Christmas I was like, I don't know about one. Like,
I know. But like one day, like I could so see you doing that and that being so rewarding, like passing down her legacy or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. It'd be really special.
Or you could even make it a thing, like you challenge other YouTubers to do it as well. And like, I don't know, that'd be really cute in your mom's name.
There's so much potential with the internet.
Yeah.
I really think we put ourselves in this box and think like this is the limit. And it really can go so, so far beyond that. I mean, my experience with my internet audience has gotten so much stronger this past year.
Fork yes. I love that.
Yeah. I love it too. And now I don't have the same work ethic that I had last year, because I, like I said, I spun myself into control. I was like, I need to edit and film every single day.
It's pretty crazy. I haven't heard that very often.
Yeah. And I'm, knock on wood, like actually so happy that that was what happened.
Oh, God.
But it was fear-based for sure. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't let my whole world come crashing down at the same time. But now I think that's why my words are rest and relaxation, because
good for you, deserve it.
I don't think I slept for
you
a year.
You earned that sleeping in.
You never need to earn sleep, but like I really think of it.
Yeah, no, you did. You're inspiring me so much right now, because this is nothing compared to anything you've dealt with. But when my parents got divorced like a couple of years ago,
relationship.
Yeah. I just started, I'll randomly bring it up in videos. I'll be like, me cosplaying being a family again. Or, like, I'll say shit.
You were saying that. You're, like, me texting my family group chat with my mom and dad in it.
Just to troll.
And they're, like, they don't really respond to that one. They really like the separate ones, but I'm going to send it to everybody.
Yeah, like, I'll make jokes, but, like, I hope that I get to the point, which I feel like I'm getting to, where, because I was so, like, it's one of my biggest insecurities is my parents getting a divorce. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Like, I just grew up, like, so proud of my family, you know, and I thought we were, like, had it together, right? And we just didn't. we did in some aspects, but clearly in, like, their marriage, they're better off separate now. And all of that is to say is, like, you're inspiring me, because it makes me want to have, like, like a divorce lawyer on my podcast and like talk about why it's okay to get a divorce, or like, I don't know, just use my platform not only for me to learn more and like why it's okay, but also there's a gazillion people that are divorced out there. I'm sure it would help them.
Exactly.
Because people just are like, shh, they got divorced. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I might be able to normalize
it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's like
so normal that you're not going to address it.
That
no
people
one's going to talk
like,
about
oh,
it.
You're still not over that. You know what I mean?
People do that with divorce, absolutely.
Or whatever. Or even with, I'm sure it's not as extreme with death and everything, but like, I don't know, everyone just deals with everything differently. And I think I really respect creators that like take on such a big thing to do like that, like a serious topic to kind of bring into their content and I guess make light of it.
I was meeting with this girl from MTV this morning who she does a lot of interviews with artists, and half her interviews are, you know, like, let's deep dive into your artistry and like what are, you know, the adversities that you've overcome to create this album or whatever. But then there's the other interviews that are like, we're going to blindfold you and you're going to test two sodas and you're going to tell us which is Coke and which is Pepsi. And we're saying that sometimes we think that this is what people want, but really this is what people want. And there's... During the pandemic, I remember, like, when we were deep in quarantine, people needed lighthearted.
Yes. They just want to be entertained.
Yeah, but we don't always want the fluff. Like, we don't want everything to be sugar-coated always, because then you feel like you're experiencing something that no one else is. You're like, divorce doesn't seem like a big deal to anyone else because they're always sugar-coating it. And you're like, why was this so hard for me?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, everyone's just... doing the fluff and no one's really deep diving into it. So I'm sure it would be really helpful for a lot of people.
I would agree. You're inspiring me. I definitely think that even TikTokers, like, I feel like a lot of them have gotten super real with random
like
stuff,
people
too.
People are like, this is my experience going to jail, why I went to jail, how long I was in jail, my favorite meals in jail.
Like, I've learned so much stuff.
So much?
Yeah.
Because people are... I remember when I entered the internet, people weren't even always using their real names. Like, there was a lot of guards up and a lot of personal information that was not being discussed in any way. But TikTok, people are shameless. And I'm kind of like...
Oh, it's crazy.
Time and place, but I'm into
it. I live for it, too.
I'm like, tell me the dirty details.
Speaking of, do you have any creators that you just love keeping up with? Like, you love being a fan of, you love watching their content, you vibe with them?
Of course. Of course. I have so many. I just recently got into TikTok, like, where I'm actually watching TikTok a lot. And a lot of my favorite TikTokers are people that are just so random, and they might have, like, 5,000 followers. Mm-hmm. In terms of YouTube... Let's see, is that where we should begin? I recently found, like, in the past, like, 2 years, Lainey Ozark, and I love her. Oh, my God, I feel like you have probably so many mutual friends with her.
She lives in Michigan,
and she's a real girly. I was
love
supposed to meet
girly.
Her in New York, and I wasn't able to, but I like that she's not in LA or New York.
Yeah, she stands out.
She's making videos and like showing us her thrifting. I live for someone who like lives in Montana or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was such a time where you would grow your audience in whatever state you lived in and then you would take off to LA. But now I'm kind of like, show me Indiana. Like, let me fall in love in Indiana and make me want to live there.
No, people die for when I go home.
Yeah.
My, like, home content. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though.
Because I don't know anything about Indiana.
Yeah.
And you love it. Mm-hmm. So, like, show me why, you know?
Yeah. I even love when, like, I guess it's the way you show it. Like, people that live here don't almost vlog that, like, they live here. Like, they just live here.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they don't. Like, one of my favorite vlogs of, do you know Luna Montana?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's a really good YouTuber. And she's one of my favorites. And she did this vlog where she was like, day in the life, like summer day in LA, like some vlog. And like the way she was just showing her routine and like going to Alfred and just like, I don't know, doing her like normal things and like going and like getting a cute photo and like going to Trader Joe's and whatever. And
like what we all do when we're
here. I was like, this is a real like LA vlog, and she wasn't doing it for the vlog. She was just doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like I need a vlog like this. Cause I'll be like, what should I do that's fun today instead of just like doing me?
Yeah.
Like what I do on a normal basis. And I would agree, like it's fun when people, they're excited about their life.
Yeah. But I like that you create a topic and then vlog within the, do you come up with titles before you make your vlogs?
sometimes.
Because I would like to do that. I think that that would be very helpful. And I've even talked about it on the podcast before about how I would love to take a proper Gen Z to come and help me figure out. I mean, you as a entity, like you for Alicia Marie, mm-hmm. was groundbreaking. Don't you think? Don't you think?
Don't you think? Wait, what do you mean?
Like her having you as like a producer assistant.
Oh, that like that being the first type of person.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah, and yeah, then yeah. you also having a channel that we could follow.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you guys talk about that frequently, how it was.
I see what you mean now.
Probably not the first of its kind, but the first that like really exploded that we got access to. And sometimes I'm with the groups that's like, where's the TK that can like help me figure out what the Gen Zs are watching and like yeah. help me come up with my titles and my thumbnails?
I will say with like Alicia, I feel like we normalized having
an employee
help. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we normalized having help. I think we also normalized someone talking behind camera. A little yeah. bit more, because it used to, like, people would have a filmer, but the filmer wouldn't talk or, like, yeah. interact. And I feel like it made Alicia more seem, like, almost more normal, because you would, like, see her, like, interacting with me.
Yeah.
Like, I would poke fun at her, and then she'd be like, shut up, bitch.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And, like, you actually get to see, like, what she actually like.
Also, with her being such a large YouTuber, it's, like, you know that it requires hands to make that
yes.
happen. So getting access to that made us feel like, okay, so when you get to that point, you kind of do need yeah. more help.
And then I think the most important thing that it did, and like valuable thing for me and her, is it, I think it showed the world and other creators how you can actually help someone. You can extend all your knowledge and helping hand and everything you know to someone, and they'll also provide value for you in a different way
yes.
in return. And because I think a lot of creators
and
have
been... And
you two
genuinely do that for each other.
Would
I really think
yes.
the amount that you help her, she helps you.
Yes. Oh, my God. She...
And vice versa.
It's crazy. And I feel confident being like, I know I provide value for her. And she feels confident knowing that she's providing value for me. And I feel like so many YouTubers and creators have been screwed for so long with, like, people using them, clout demon energy, like, all that crazy LA shit. And I think she was one of the first people to be like, I'm going to pour into you and we're going to, like, be a duo. And, like, the fact that for some reason I'm the person she decided
it's
to do
so
that with.
It's so special that you guys
so
found
grateful.
Each other.
And I'm so grateful to be a duo that people can be like, I want a relationship like that. I think it literally made other creators being like, whoa, like, I kind of want to help someone.
Yeah, it feels
really
gratifying.
Because I know how much I can offer them. Yeah.
Because I have experience and longevity, but I want someone who's got fresh eyes.
Yeah.
I want someone
the
who
spice.
Hasn't been on YouTube for 12 years. I want someone who only knows TikTok and YouTube from the last year and a half. Like, I want to see what popular things that they've caught on to. Mm-hmm. So it's really special
yeah,
that you
even
guys have that.
Thank you. I even, like, I could see someone similar to myself. Like, when I came into Alicia's life, and I didn't know her very well, and I was, like, filming her, and I would notice she would get sent something or, like, say something in real life, and I'd be like, why do you never show that? And she'd be like, that's interesting. And I'd be like, yes. Like,
yeah, I would love
yeah.
that.
Like, it was like I was a fly on the wall, and I was like, oh, my God, you do that? And, like, she would be like, what? Like, because that was so normal to her. And I'd be like, why don't you show that? Like, that's,
yeah.
that's a whole video. And, like, I think I brought almost, like, a fresh set of eyes to her life.
And what could be part of the business? Because I was even watching your little YouTube short where you guys are getting ready together.
Oh, yeah.
And you have the pretty basic palettes as what you're using as the mirror. And I'm like, oh, so smart. Like, I would be like, oh, this, like, I don't know. I love it.
Wow, I'm so appreciative. I'm like, I can't believe you saw that short. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Have you been trying to do shorts or anything like that?
I have not tried it yet.
No?
I'm on TikTok a wee bit, but okay. mostly ironically, like, everything I post on TikTok is pretty stupid.
I'm like, you need to get Emily's like the queen of TikTok.
Oh, favorite creator, Emily June.
Emily June. She's one of my favorite TikTokers.
Emily June.
For sure.
Follow Emily June
yeah,
on TikTok.
Follow Emily June now. We stan.
She's one of the funniest TikTokers, and the fact that she hasn't blown up yet is a crime.
It's mind-boggling.
It's a crime.
And she genuinely is one of the funniest people I probably know.
Yes. I know her on the internet and in real life. This girl kills me.
Also, buy her brand, 20s World.
Get your cleansing balm. I know you need one.
20s world
cleansing balm.
It just melts off your face.
It just melts off your face.
Yeah, she's great.
Emily. Also, Helen Ann. Helen Ann's one of my best friends from home who now lives with Emily.
Talk about
worlds colliding. Hear this. So in Virginia, I grew up and played field hockey with one of my best friends, Helen Ann. She loves New York. I live in New York. She would come and visit. And then when my mom passed, Emily came down to New York. I mean, came down to Virginia. Helen Ann came with us. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of hit it off. Next thing you know, my BFF from Virginia and my BFF in New York are roomies.
That's incredible.
So special. And we want Helen Ann to be a content creator. So, like, when someone you're like, you Helen know Ann. You need to be on the internet. And she's like, a little, like, she'll dip her toes
she'll
in. But, yeah.
Helen Ann, come on. Get posting. Get vlogging.
Yeah. I love all my friends. Like, yeah. That's probably the content I watch the most. But do you have any, like, new
creators
that you found?
I feel like...
They don't have to be new, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like for me lately, YouTube's been a little dry.
It's been a little dry.
I think, though, like January and February for just anyone, whatever workforce you're in, it's just like dry.
It's interesting, though, because I would have thought that because it's the new year and we're all like, let's get it started. No one felt like, let's get it started this year.
No, I felt like January 1 was February 1.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The new year started February 1st.
Yeah. I'm, like, just kind of getting back in it. Honestly, maybe not even February 1st, maybe March 1st.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, it was a really slow start to mm-hmm. the year. And I got COVID after New Year's, which is everyone who got Omicron was like, oh, I'm not even sick. It's no big deal.
Did you get sick?
I was so sick. I was so sick.
Oh, no, you were down bad.
I was down bad for, like, almost 2 weeks.
Lexi.
Yeah, and I had COVID March 2020, like I had it last year, not 2020. I had it in 2021 and I was asymptomatic, nothing. Just
whoa, that's weird.
Yeah, just chilled and I could still work. It was not a thing. It
the more you know.
Yeah, but then when I got it this time, I assumed it would be the same and I had to text my team and say, I'm in bed all day. I'm sleeping 15 hours every single
push
day.
Push my deals.
Yeah, please. I'm not being lazy. I really am not here. So I got so sick and so that delayed the beginning of the new year. And then with rest and relaxation and being present, mm-hmm. being present involved, not necessarily bringing the camera around.
I get it.
It's hard. It's a hard balance because on one hand, I really love taking photos and I really love taking videos, but
you don't want to be fake. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I should vlog today, but I'm just not in the mood.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know it's going to be a shitty vlog in my head.
Yeah.
Whereas like some people might not even think it is.
Oh yeah. Sometimes vlogs that I don't even want to upload end up being people's favorites. Yeah. As we were saying, the ones that will get viral and you're uh-huh. like, this is not even my best work. This isn't even sort of my best work. I don't know why this one took off. But I went to Mammoth and I wanted to take so many photos, but I also wish I had a day there where I was really just immersed in the mountain. Yeah. How did you guys take videos skiing?
We tried.
We were like, this is dangerous.
No, it's hard. We have a friend, one of our guy friends is like such a good boarder. Like,
okay.
so good.
So he could do it with his eyes closed.
He literally is like going backwards. Like,
that'll do
and
it.
And what's cool is he's going almost faster than us, so it looks like we're going like way quick, like we look cooler than how it actually looks in real life. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, we're having our little like Kendall Jenner snowboard, like
I love it.
I'm an athlete moment.
I love it. I love skiing so much.
It's, you know what I love about it is you're not on your phone.
Yeah, it's also such a mental battle, and you can do it with your friends, but you got yourself down that mountain. Mm-hmm. It's so gratifying.
It is.
Every little turn when you think, like, oh, I might fall or something, this one's a little tricky, I find it so fun.
I like how it takes all my attention.
Yeah. Talk about being present.
Yeah.
Skiing, you can't be distracted. Mm-hmm. Even one of my friends tried to take a video of herself skiing and tumbled. R.I.P. Kaylee.
Oh, my gosh, poor Kaylee.
This girl... Oh, Kaylee, she needs to be on the internet too. See, all my favorite people aren't even on the internet.
I know.
Half my favorite people are on the internet.
I would agree. Same with some of my friends.
But she got altitude sickness.
I've gotten that before.
Did you have to go to the hospital?
No, but it was like I was down bad.
Down bad?
Yeah.
I had it and I just had to stay at the lodge for a couple hours and I had a baked potato and all was well in the world.
Oh, good.
But she needed to go to the hospital, so I dropped her off.
Oh, my God.
She was like sweating profusely and anxious and I'm like, can I come in? They're like, you can't. You can only go in if she has a head injury and can't speak for herself. So I was like, great, no problem. I'll just like be in the car. That's fine. So I'm texting her like, are you okay? And she says, the doctors want to keep me a little longer. So I'm like, oh, I'm on the other side of the country. My friend is in the hospital. This is fine. I'm fine. This is no problem at all. Oh, okay. How am I going to kill time? Let's put gas in the car. Great. Like, I'm just in panic mode. Let's put gas in the car. Let's clean the hotel room. Let's have her get fresh towels and we'll throw away trash. And as soon as she texts me, like, I will be there. Let's go to the gift store. Let's get her a gift. Let's get it wrapped and so it can be there when she gets there. So finally she texts me, you can come pick me up.
Oh my gosh.
She walks out. Wind's she's blowing. Like, she's glowing.
She's like, I just got my drip she's hydration. Like,
that was so nice. We were like, I had a panic attack for 4 hours. You're like,
I should be in the hospital.
She's like, they gave me a warm blanket and oh, the oxygen feels so good.
No.
She like had a grand old time. I was like, did I just pick you up from a spa?
Okay, good to know if I get altitude sickness next time. To,
the
like,
Mammoth Hospital, she's like, they were incredible. They treated me so well. I'm like, I'm glad you had a good day.
Oh my God. I would have been in panic mode too. That's really cute.
Yeah. I'm so glad she's fine. It was so not serious. And like you're sitting in the waiting room with people who have broken limbs. Yeah. And you're like, I'm glad that she just got an oxygen tube up her nose. But she's like, I would do that again.
The altitude sickness is no joke.
Yeah, you're dizzy and headachy.
And like it also does kind of make you anxious in a way. Like it makes you, and you're like, do I have to throw up? Like, it's weird.
Yeah, she felt very out of control of her body and like was really uncomfortable with it. So I'm glad that she got it taken care of. It was just very funny where she walks out like, hey, thanks for getting me.
You're like, what? Let's trade spots. I gotta go in.
Yeah, like 1 second, I need the oxygen. But it was really fun. And then I think she felt like a little guilty. I was like, if you want to go out tonight, like we can go out tonight. I was like, love you, girl.
Cute. Wait, speaking of, like, I feel like you have so many good friends.
I love my friends.
What do you feel like are the keys to a successful friendship, like a good friendship?
Equal effort, for sure.
Okay.
I also need to connect. I feel like we need to connect on something. I'm really good at, I mean, I'm really bad at maintaining a friendship with someone that I don't feel like I've actually connected with. Mm-hmm. It can't just be, oh, we like the same stores or something like that. It needs to go a little bit deeper where I feel like I know you. For example, I actually became really good friends with the producer from my Walmart commercial that I was in.
Iconic.
So random. But her mom has cancer and my mom passed away and the commercial was of me and my dad. So she ended up meeting my dad. And I feel like when you have that many of like personal experiences,
yes,
then there's a bond. And I have, if we bond once, it doesn't matter if we're not talking every day. Like, that bond stays. Mm-hmm. It remains. You can leave my life for months and months and we don't talk. But if we've already connected, that doesn't disappear.
I love friendships like that where you just pick it up.
And I love a one-on-one friendship. Mm-hmm. I don't really have – I have somewhat of a friend group, but a lot of one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And I think I was saying this – I don't know if I said it on the internet or to someone in person.
Me.
That I like – one-on-one friendships because it's really important for me to get equal amount of listening and speaking time. If it's off balance, I get exhausted. I'm such a baby, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't stand to just, I don't want to be the entertainment. I don't want to be lecturing. As sometimes in friend groups, there is one person who's like doing all the talking. And then same thing, I don't want to just be listening.
Mm-hmm.
So I like one-on-one friendships because of that. And then once I feel like I meet someone that I love, that I've connected with, that is also fun and entertaining, I feel like those are good. Oh my God, there's so many qualities. I'm like, what is it? What's the secret sauce?
I guess I was just asking, like, you know when you're like, oh, I really connected with them.
Yeah.
And maybe, let's say, wasn't as personal as your Walmart commercial experience, right? Because that's pretty crazy.
Or it could just,
right?
Where you meet someone and you're like, I just feel you.
Or like, my instinct, I guess it's your instincts?
Your intuition. You just feel a connection.
Yeah. But it's so funny, like, I'll meet someone, let's say it's a random event, and I'm like, I fucking like that girl.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why?
I don't know.
Maybe
Something deeper.
Something hit. Yeah.
And friendships come out of so many random things, because sometimes it is just time. You spend enough time with someone that you're like, yeah, we're friends.
Mm.
I don't have an answer.
It's okay. I feel like you answered a lot of in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that's what I do when I don't have an actual answer. How like, do you... it could be this. It might be this.
Okay, my next question is, how do you – you have a lot of, I feel like, really close friends that still live here, and you live literally across the country. How do you maintain those?
They come to New York frequently. Mm-hmm. And I come to LA a couple times a year, so it feels, and then FaceTime. So I feel like I see Claude and Drew frequently enough where I'm like, it doesn't really feel that hard. Also, the LA New York overlap is really big.
It is.
My friend and I were talking about how it feels like it's just a bus stop away from New York in a lot of ways, where
if only
they're, I know, if only, yeah. But energetically, everyone just flying through. I mean, one, two, three people I know from New York are here right now.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, we'll grab dinner too, and we would have grabbed dinner in New York, and now we're grabbing dinner in LA, so it doesn't even feel
hard
to maintain.
That reminds me, like, exactly what you just said. It kind of reminds me of being in a small town, and there's, like, two main bars to go to.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, and you know you're going to see everyone there. And, like, there's people that go to the more sporty bar, and then there's people that go to the more, like, cowgirl bar.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like,
of course,
they go to the different, when there's a game going on, the cowgirls go to the sports bar, whatever. And, like, that's literally LA and New York.
Yeah. That's really how it feels. I mean, we were picking up my friend from a hotel, and we decided, like, let's just meet at Air One instead because it was up the street. We park, and then my friend that I had been wanting to see just drives
up.
And it's just, it's like that. Last time I was at that Air One, too, like, I ran into two other people that were just sitting
there. That's amazing.
We joined them. And so many people are getting booked, and a lot of my LA model friends are now working in New York.
Shows and stuff like
so
that.
It's really easy to
it
maintain.
I
feel
love
very
that.
Lucky and grateful for that one.
Do you, what about New York does it for you more than LA?
Okay, the walkability. Mm-hmm. I do like walking. Second, my entire family from Maine to Georgia is on the East Coast. We don't have anyone on the West.
Yeah.
And the 3-hour time zone.
It's hard.
So it feels like I should reside in New York and then visit LA because residing in LA and visiting New York, I wouldn't get to see them as much. Mm-hmm. I like being a drive away from my dad and a drive away from my cousin and I are really close because I'm an only child. So I make up for my siblings with having really strong friendships and my
cousins.
Cousin. Yeah.
Or cousin.
Well, cousins, but I'm like particularly close with one.
Got it.
Shout out Morgan.
Yeah, shout out Morgan.
We
love
shout you, Morgan.
Ann.
Love Mar. Shout out Holiday. Emily. Shout out Emily. Shout out Tyra.
Shout out Tyra. Shout out Chris Clemens.
Shout out Claudia. Shout out Drew.
This whole podcast is a shout out. That's gonna be my TikTok. Shout out Drew. Shout out Claudia.
This is my life. Just shout out John. Miss you. Shout out Jesus.
We shout out everyone. I'm dead. Okay, so the walkability and
the walkability. Hypothetically,
family.
I like the four seasons.
Okay.
I'm ready to skip one of the winters, but I do like snow and I. Mm-hmm. But you can get all that in California.
Yeah.
I really do think now that I'm older. See, I was very insecure when I lived in LA. Like,
oh, really?
I was like an 18, 19 year old. Because I was a small fish, large pond, and I did not do well with that because I was coming from a small town.
Yeah.
I was like, everything that made me different before everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Like, where is my identity? And I was just figuring myself out, and I had way too much free time on my hands. Whereas typically I was in school, in sports, doing YouTube, so I wasn't really thinking too much about myself. And then suddenly I had so much time to think about myself. But now that I'm older, if my family was on the West Coast, I think maybe I would.
Oh, really?
But I don't know.
You don't know. It's okay. You have a lot of time left.
Yeah. Bi-coastal maybe would be the dream.
I know. Same. That's kind of how I feel. Because I'm like, I couldn't live in Indiana full time, but I'd love to like visit more.
Well, wouldn't you love to have also a house that's kind of not near anything too?
Yeah.
Like I'd want a mountain house or a beach house or lake house, mm-hmm. but then also access to LA and New York.
Would agree with
yes.
that. Yeah. Okay, last question is, what are you doing to make moves right now in your life? It can be personal. It can be work-related. Other than your, you know, being present and what we've already said, like, what are you trying to do to get better, make moves?
Okay, well, I love my podcast. I'm the host of the At Lexi podcast, and
it's so good, you guys.
It's
have
very
to listen.
Casual, but intimate.
It's literally like you're on FaceTime with a friend.
Very much so. That's the goal. Very much like phone call with mm-hmm. a friend. Especially if you, I want to be that if you don't have that right now. Like, I would love that. I'm a vlogger on YouTube as well. OG. I post vlogs once, maybe twice a week if I'm feeling really good about it. And then in my personal life, my move that I'm trying to make is a serious move. Like, I'm actually trying to move apartments.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I really want to live alone. I want to see what that's like.
Oh my God. I just move, like, I live alone and it just happened and I love it.
See, and you're an extrovert.
I'm such an extrovert.
And I'm an extrovert.
I was shocked. Genuinely.
That you like it?
Genuinely.
I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to hate it. I think I love it. I would love it.
And I will say, similar to you, I've never had, like, an awful roommate experience, extravaganza, because that normally is what drives people to live alone.
Totally.
So I was like, you know what? Like, I actually loved living with Peyton. I loved living with my roommate before that. And Peyton was, like, definitely who I was closest with, like, roommate-wise.
Yeah.
But something about being able to go home and, like, do whatever the fork I want when I want. It's so simple. But, like, I now get cranky if I don't have one day out of the week to myself in my apartment.
Interesting.
It's crazy.
And you give me hope. Because that was the red flag is, Lexi, you're kind of extroverted. I don't know if you'll want all that alone time. But I think I will.
You won't be alone actually that much, because I feel like now too, I'm more creative because I have time to think, literally. Like, just think about just life, right? When I'm not filling it with a void of small talk
totally.
Or catching up, right?
Yeah.
And then also, like, when I'm lonely, I invite whoever I want over or I call them.
And you don't have to consider the vibe of anyone else in the house.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to have a party late night,
You
can do it.
Can't.
If you don't want anyone at your house all week, you can do that too.
Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to, like, that aspect of it. But also, if I want to set up something for filming purposes, I don't want to be rude to my roommate and,
same.
Like, leave a tripod up and,
even
like,
if they
all
don't
these clothes.
Care, you
and
care.
I know, yeah, my roommate is so chill. Like, we get along so well. But I'm just like, I don't want to ruin the living room for you, even though I have 3 days that I need to, like, shoot this and I don't want to pick it up
Agreed.
And clean it up every single day.
Even today, I went to the gym and I came home and I made my smoothie and I was in a rush and I was like, fork, yeah, I get to leave everything where it is and not put it away.
I don't need to feel bad about
and
my mess.
And I don't feel bad. Yeah. And it's such a stupid thing, but it is real. And like the other day, I was like, I was kind of bored and I was like, oh, I kind of want to watch this Euphoria finale like with some friends. I just invited them over. Literally took some of my like PR shit that was on the floor. I found these like crystals from a Valentine's Day like PR. I like spread them all over the counter. I was like, I'm gonna make this cute. I'm having fun. And like I just got excited. I invited whoever I wanted it over. I postmated food and like I wasn't burdening anyone, even
yes.
though like Peyton would not give a shit. But
I
like
I feel you on that. I don't want to burden anyone, even though I know I wouldn't
yeah.
be.
It still bothers you.
It bothers
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Knowing
Agreed.
That I might be burdening someone to the slightest
yeah
degree.
It's more of a burden for me to think about burdening someone literally.
What's
that
about?
Makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm like, should I talk to my therapist
yeah,
about this?
Probably. Anyway, Lexi, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's been such a delight, and like I'm so excited to finally meet you
yes.
in real life.
We've never met before.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Good first time.
So where can everyone follow you? I know, obviously, listen to our podcast.
Lexi Lombard on YouTube, at Lexi Podcast, at Lexi on Instagram, at Lexi on Twitter. And my name is Lexie.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you all to tune into our podcast because it's so good.
Thank you.
Listen to her old episodes about her mom. They're insane. Such good pivotal episodes. And yeah, follow her on everything and follow, subscribe to this YouTube channel and rate and review the podcast Making Moves and follow us on Instagram at TK's Juicy Balls. Woohoo! And be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.